What's going on, everybody? Happy hump day. Welcome to another edition here of Mean Streets presented by So Rare, live on our FTN Network YouTube page and here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. Hopefully everybody's having a fantastic morning. We have a lot to get to on the show. Of course, we're going to continue to hit up the big four, including our NFL prospect talk. We've been hitting an NFL prospect here every single day for the past little bit. We are just about a week away from the NFL draft. In fact, 1 week from today, we'll just be one sleep away from the NFL draft. And some exciting news coming your way as well here on our FTN Network YouTube page. We are going to be with you through the entire first round of the NFL draft. We're gonna have some fun. We'll be with you early. We'll talk about some NFL draft props, some things that we've been talking about on this show, and we're gonna have some special guests. And then on day two, which will be round two and round three, we'll be with you as well. Be a little bit more of a fantasy spin, I think, on a day two of the NFL draft. You know, some wide receivers, some running backs, the fantasy impact of those players as well. So a lot of fun here at FTN. A lot to get to here today on this show. We got Dusty Picks, a.k.a. Dusty Trout of Bet99 Sportsbook, joining us in just a little bit after the block, after this first segment here. We're going to get him on, and we are going to recap a little bit from last night in the NHL. Four dogs with wins. The New York Rangers, which, you know, we like a lot on this show. We're big Rangers fans. We have them going pretty deep into the playoffs. A fantastic game one from them. The Devils didn't even have a shot in the first 10 minutes. They had four power plays, didn't even put a puck on net. So New Jersey struggling in their opener. How about the Maple Leafs last night? That has to be one of the most surprising outcomes, does it not? Listen, the Kraken winning last night in Colorado is not surprising to me. We've been watching this show all year long. We're big fans of the Seattle Kraken. The Kraken were a fantastic road team. They led the NHL in 5-5 goals. They were third in road goals. This is a team that has a lot to offer offensively. When you look at their squad, you don't feel like they have a lot of offensive firepower. We said that. They don't really match up with the star power that the Avs have. But Grubauer played great last night, and I do have the Avs winning this series in 7. But my one issue was Philip Grubauer. Now, it's just one game. Fun revenge story, of course, former Av. Just one game, but he played really good last night in his old barn. And I'm really looking forward to what things will look like in Seattle at Climate Change Arena. How is that arena going to look like? Is it going to be a teal out? You know, Winnipeg got the first win last night in Vegas. That was kind of surprising. We do have that series going 7. Connor Hellebuck, right? He wasn't even really tested last night, but Connor Hellebuck can steal a couple games and maybe a couple rounds for the Winnipeg Jets. We know what the barn will look like in Winnipeg for game 3 whiteout. It's going to be bumping. It'll be rocking. Same sort of deal at MSG with the Rangers pulling out that win. And then the most surprising, let's be honest, the most surprising game last night, even though the Tampa Bay Lightning are 3-time Eastern Conference champions, they took care of the Leafs last year in 7. They went into Toronto last night, and I don't know what the heck happened with the Leafs. I don't want to hear about the reffing. It was bad on both sides. That's not why they lost the game. They gave up some power play goals. That's not why. Michael Bunting is going to get suspended. He should be suspended multiple games for that ridiculous hit he had last night. This is Bunting, the way that he plays. He's a little bit of a chippy player. He's in your face. You do want to have those type of players, you know, on your squad that can be agitators, but you know, Chernek, a little bit of a cheap shot after the whistle, Bunting flops, and later on he pays his revenge, and it cost them the game. A 5-minute major, which Tampa went on a power play, and for some reason Sheldon Keefe decides that he wants to challenge that goal for goaltender interference, and, you know, I don't even know if the puck fully crossed the line. It definitely wasn't goalie interference, and then they're killing again, and the Tampa Bay Lightning just cruise through that game really without Victor Hedman for the final two periods and for Eric Chernak for a while. And who knows the status of those two guys. Now it's panic mode for the next 48 hours in Toronto. Sports talk in Toronto should be just fantastic to listen to over the next little bit. I still think the Leafs will win the series, but my goodness, they didn't look good last night. They played sloppy right away. They were sloppy icings, turnovers in their own end. And, you know, Sheldon Keefe, I just don't know. Like, I just, you know, everything is not on the coach. You can only say so much to these players. It's here we go again. There's 6 straight seasons they've lost in the first round. They haven't won a first round since 2003, 2004. This core, there's some question marks with this core. I have some questions about their psyche, the mentality, like the passion. I just didn't see it last night, but it's just one game. Let's not, you know, overreact here a little bit, but I know Leafs fans are saying, here we go again. I see Dusty is hanging by. We're going to get him after the commercial break. A couple things off the top. Want to give a shout out to Morgan Barron here today. Can we talk about Morgan Barron of the Winnipeg Jets taking a skate to the face, getting 75 stitches and returning to the game? Are you kidding me? This guy is an absolute warrior. I tweeted the picture out, quote retweeted Sportsnet with the video, and you know, it was scary. I was really hoping that he would be okay, and I was very shocked to see him come back in that game last night. And then, of course, Mr. Okel there of ESPN tweets out the picture next to Darth Barron is what they're calling him over at ESPN, which I think is fantastic. But like, you got Canada on the jersey patch there. Is that not hockey? You know what I mean? Like, I don't take any shots at, you know, other players, but, you know, I've seen players in the NBA, you know, leave games with like a hangnail, or dudes are questionable in the NFL for 4 or 5 straight weeks. I've seen this happen multiple times. Nick Foligno 1 year took a puck to the face. I think it was a series against the Lightning when they upset Tampa a few years ago. Took a puck to the face, a slap shot to the face. I didn't even know if this guy would play hockey again. And he returned. He missed like a couple shifts. He put a bucket on, a cage, and he came and he played. Like, unbelievable stuff. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I will save the Allen Robinson stuff for a little bit because our guy Dusty is hanging by. But Allen Robinson, I don't think it's quite official just yet, but he does sound like he's headed to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers and the Rams swap seven round picks, and there's some like taking on some money there. The Rams will have to eat a little bit. There it is. Let's just do it. He has to pass a physical. Of course, he hasn't played a lot of football over the past couple of years. He's still only 29. He's got 3 1,000-yard seasons on his NFL resume. You know, if things didn't really work out for him last year with, you know, McVay and what was a really good offense, what we thought would be. I know there were some issues on the offensive line and Matthew Stafford wasn't completely healthy. If this is a good real-life move for the Steelers, I don't think we are going to get too crazy about it from a fantasy football perspective. But Allen Robinson's still fairly young, right? So maybe a change of scenery will help him out a little bit. But Kenny Pickett and George Pickens, that's the duo in Pittsburgh. But a good real life move here. Still got Deontay Johnson, who had some issues finding the end zone last year. But we'll see if Allen Robinson does indeed pass that physical. And again, maybe a change of scenery will help him out. But we talked about Allen Football with Jake Seeley and Lauren Carpenter today, which you can catch on Game Plus Network as well, here on our FTN Network YouTube page on Wednesday. We're rolling through a mock draft. It's been fun. We're in 4 rounds deep, just taking a look at it before the draft happens. And all these players, you know, that get drafted teams will affect other players that we're drafting in the first 4 rounds, probably. But Allen Robinson, we had that discussion. We don't view him as a top 40 wide receiver. We'll take a quick break. We got our guy Dusty hanging by. We're going to recap last night's 4 upsets in the NHL. Take a look at the overall bracket as we stand here now. Still time to get into the Dagobertelli NHL Challenge bracket. It actually locks tonight, so you still have time to, you know, maybe come off a couple teams that you were feeling good. I think you should stick with your gut, but we'll talk to Dusty about that, and we will preview a couple games happening this evening. We got some NBA picks, we got some MLB picks, NHL picks, a lot to get to here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. We'll be back here in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. You're watching Mean Streets here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, also on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany, as we bring in Dusty Picks, aka Dusty Trout from Bet99 Sportsbook. What's going on, dude? Welcome in. Thanks for taking the time.
Not much. Yourself? Just getting ready for another night of NHL and some bets. And thanks for having me on. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, of course, man. Absolutely. I see you, you know, you're sharing bets on Twitter, and we were chatting back and forth. You got into our Dagobertelli NHL bracket challenge, so we appreciate that as well. Still got some time, as I said off the top. Maybe some people are panicking. Maybe they had Leafs in 5 or Oilers in 5, and you could still maybe stick with those teams that you like, but maybe just change the games that we will see in those particular series. AS in the house, dogs are barking. In fact, all 4 dogs last night took care of business. The Lightning, the Jets, the Kraken, and the Rangers, 4 road teams. Thomas Viola, welcome in, dude. It's been a minute. Big Vegas Golden Knights fan, and he's trying not to panic. That was one of the tougher series for me to call, Dustin. I really do have a lot of respect for Connor Hellebuck. I think when he's on top of his game, he has like top 3, top 5 upside at the position. And I mean, you know, as well as anybody else watching and listening, a hot goalie can, you know, take a team to second, third, maybe even to the finals. Any takeaways from last night's four road teams out of the four teams that maybe lost? Who do you feel like has the best chance, like, to come back and win?
The team that has the best chance to come back to win, obviously, is the Avalanche, you know, up against the Kraken. I know you guys love the Kraken. You guys are all about it.
We do.
You know what? They've been playing well. They shocked me last night, too. I expected a lot more goals last night in the game. I thought Seattle versus Colorado would be a goal fest, to be honest with you. I had over six, and that didn't happen. But the Avs would have the best chance to rebound. The Jets-Vegas series, man, like, Connor Hellebuyck just breathes confidence throughout his whole team. The guy's a stud, and he's going against Laurent Brossoit, who, you know, looked like Laurent Brossoit last night. You know, who we thought he was.
He is who we thought he was. No, it's great. I want to talk to you actually about him, because I know a lot of people, you know, Eric Young too, super sharp. He's my co-host over at Dangle Badselli. He says, man, Laurent Brossoit has been playing really good. And we rattled off some of his numbers, and I was like, yeah, he is playing really good, but he's only played 10 games this season. Like, last night was what, start number 12 for him this season. He's a former Jet. He's bounced around as a backup across the league. How short is the leash for Laurent Brossoit? They've had a carousel of goalies in Vegas. They acquired Jonathan Quick, who started off great for them, but he hasn't had a good season. He definitely has Stanley Cup playoff experience. Logan Thompson's on 100% right now. Robin Leonard's been hurt forever. Aiden Hill's played for them. Like, how short is that leash, man? Like, does he even start game two? I don't know if I'm playing him game two.
No, I wouldn't be playing him game two personally. I'd be going right back to Johnny Quick, getting him in the net. God's been there, proven track record. I don't care if we lose with John Quick. I'd rather lose with John Quick than Brossoit.
Yeah, fair enough. And because we're north of the border and Game Plus Network is in the Toronto area, we have to get your thoughts on the Maple Leafs last night. Straight panic mode? Were you surprised with the, I mean, I think most people, even if you're a Lightning fan, heck, they interviewed John Cooper between the, I think it was just after the second period started on the bench on the ESPN broadcast, and he's pretty coy with some of his remarks and things like that, but he said he was shocked with how, you know, he's not surprised. His team has been there before, but he was pretty surprised with just how that game started last night. And we are awaiting word for Michael Bunting, as he has a hearing with the player safety department. So he's definitely going to get a game or two for his hit on Chernak last night. Were you surprised? Are you in on the Leafs? What do you make of this series?
To be honest with you, this is the first time in a few years I took the Leafs. I'm like, the Leafs, yeah, this is it. Yeah. This is their time, like everybody else. Like, this is finally it. But then when you watch last night's game, the first few minutes, you could tell the nervous energy in Samsonov. Samsonov in net was nervous as he was just.
Yes.
And you could see the Lightning were just shooting pucks at his pads, getting juicy rebounds all game. And they were just coming right out to everybody. It's going to be tough for the Leafs to crawl back. Like, it's only one game, yes, but still, it's in their head right now. And taking 7-3 on the chin. Matthew Bunting being a donkey when he took that 5-minute major, like, the Leafs weren't out of the game right then. The Leafs were still there. Leafs are right there. And he took
What's crazy, Dusty, is that you're right. They were there. They scored those two power play goals. And even when it was 3-0, I didn't feel like they were out of it, because they do have so much firepower. And they started off what looked like nervous energy in the building. This is a couple turnovers early. They're icing the puck, and you know, you take a couple penalties against a team like Tampa, they can really fill the net there. But it did seem like they played a little like just scared. Like, this is, I don't know what it is with this team and with that core. You feel like there would be more energy, there'd be more drive, there'd be more passion. Like, this is it. Like, we got to do it this time. Like, this is a team that beat us last year. Let's go. We're in our own building. Let's take care of home ice. So we'll see what happens with Hedman and Chernak, how much time they miss. It's not.
They got Matthew Nines in a regular jersey today, so they're saying Bunting's gonna be suspended, so Matthew he's gonna step in, and you know what? Yeah. To be honest, he did not look bad at all in the games he played. I think it'll be an upgrade almost.
Yeah, for sure. Right, get Bunting out of there. You know,
not taking penalties
on that top line. Yeah, the penalties that he draws is nice. I mean, he's drawn the most, but he's also taken kind of some silly penalties as well. And Samsonov, maybe a little bit of nerves from him too. Like, I didn't think that he was controlling his rebounds. So the Leafs are definitely not out of it. Maybe potential live dogs if you want to jump on like some serious stuff with them right now. Keep in mind, the Leafs did win game one last year, 5-0.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing that series. But we did, we believe on this show. I'm with you. It was the first time in quite some time as well that we were on the Maple Leafs in this show. Okay, so do you want to share your bracket a little bit on some teams that you like? And we'll throw up the overall bracket here that we have, just like some live bracket stuff. Like, and then we'll break and we'll get into tonight. We see some questions already about McDavid in the playoffs, Adrian Kempe for his shot prop. We'll get into some stuff tonight. Who are your teams that you feel like are going to go on some run now that it's still early, but we've seen every game now.
Oh, definitely in the East. I like the Rangers making a deep run. I had them going to the conference finals. Everyone was all about the Devils, young guys, fast guys. But when it comes down to playoff hockey, man, it's heavy, hard hitting hockey. And you look at the Rangers last night, that's what they did. They leaned on the boys, the kids, I'm going to say. They leaned on them. And Vanacek versus Shesterkin, I'm taking Shesterkin all day. And yeah, I think the Rangers are going to have a deeper run than a lot of people think.
And Quan, our producer, who's really getting into hockey with the shot props and the picks, and he just loves himself some playoff hockey. I mean, playoff hockey is fantastic, especially when we get into like double overtime and things like that. What we saw in game one between the Wild and the Stars, he said, man, the Devils, like the first 10 minutes, they didn't even have a shot. I thought this was a team that drove offense at 5-5, and the Rangers are, you know, had some issues at 5-5 play. But you said it, like, you know, some kids in New York has been great, but mostly the inexperience, I think, in New Jersey, and then the experience with the Rangers, and then the goaltending that Shesterkin, what he could do. And this team was just one game away from, you know, one goal away from getting to the Stanley Cup finals last year. They had four power plays last night, the Devils, and they didn't even get a shot, dude.
And like Jack Hughes didn't even get his shot prop, his over 3.5 or whatever, 4. I think he might have got it by one, but I think it was right at the end of the game in the penalty shot. He was when he got it.
Yeah, I know. I was expecting a little bit more from him. I think he ended up with 3 and needed 4 we had on this show, but he had 28 shots in the 4 games against the Rangers in the regular season, but they shut him down last night and he definitely looked frustrated. So maybe it's just I expect the Devils to bounce back. I do think it'll be a long series. I say maybe 6 games here. Maybe just, again,
the Devils aren't going away.
Yeah, with some of these players that haven't been there before, and it's like a new situation for them as well. Okay, I think we'll break. Let's break. I think we got through last night. Are you on the Jets or are you on the Golden Knights?
I'm on the Jets, baby. On the Jets.
Oh, nice. So you were liking last night's outcome.
Loved it.
I guess so. So you want Laurent Brossoit to start game 2?
Oh, I would love him to start game 2. He used to play with the Oilers too, so I know him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you are an Oilers guy. Are you in the Edmonton area?
No, I grew up in Edmonton. My dad was in the military. I did all my high school in Edmonton. I was in Edmonton for the 06 Cup run and everything, and that kind of tied me right to the team. Oh, White Ave, baby.
I was there too. I was living in Red Deer at the time. I got a little bit of both. I got the Red Mile a couple years before that when the Flames went and lost to the Lightning, and then the White Ave when the Oilers unfortunately didn't get it done in the finals against Carolina. So both rides.
Oh, 100%. Unbelievable. I always remember them.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, we'll break. We'll dive into the Oilers. We'll see. Maddie is in the house. He's asking if there's some concerns with David. Will he show up in the playoffs? We'll talk about that. Stop. Adrian Kempe and more here after the break with Dusty. Keeper Lock. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, presented by So Rare. We got Dusty in the house. We are following him on the Twitter machine. You got Dusty Picks at Dusty Trout, Bet99 Sportsbook. So let's get into it. I saw you in the commercial break here laughing. I don't know if you're just like, oh man, McDavid is going to go off tonight. Are you kidding me, Maddie, with that comment? We brought it up before we went to the break. I'm a little concerned with McDavid. Will he show up in the playoffs? Over 150 points in the regular season, a massive, massive breakout campaign last year as the Oilers went to the third round in the Western Conference against the Avs, who went on to win the Stanley Cup, but 0 points in game 1. So, you know, some people that maybe don't follow as closely as maybe you and I are wondering if he's going to be okay. I'm sure he's going to be just fine. But be honest with me. When you saw the Oilers were going to play the Kings, were you a little concerned? Were you a little worried? Like, that matchup, I think, is a tough one, in my opinion.
Oh, I was definitely scared. I didn't want any part of the Kings, to be honest with you. I was like, no. We got by them last year by the game 7. But no, the Kings play tough style hockey, man. They close checking. And Tom McClellan, the coach, you know, used to coach the Oilers. He knows what pisses McDavid off and Leon, the boys. He knows what how to get around those guys. And Mikey Anderson and Drew Doughty didn't play last year. A lot of people, I don't think, realize he didn't play in the playoffs. He's a mouthpiece, obviously, but he's always talking. He's in the ears of the big dogs, right? Like, he's a little difference maker out there, man. People don't realize, like, he might not see him on the you might not see him on the scoreboard score sheet, but
no,
he's out there, man, giving the time.
He's good, man. He's still got it. I know a lot of people in like that dive into analytics and stuff kind of laugh at that contract, but man, when he is playing and he's healthy, he is a difference maker. I mean, he's got multiple Stanley Cups. I heard his comment too about McDavid. You know, he said, I'm paraphrasing, that they were going to smack him given the opportunity. That they would be all over him.
They did.
And Philip Deneau, honestly, is, I think, one of the most underrated two-way centers in the league. He did a terrific job with the Canadiens en route to the Stanley Cup Finals in the bubble, you know, shutting down Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele, Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty. And he did a decent job on McDavid last year as well. And, you know, McDavid did have his chances in game one, but he is a guy that is really frustrating to play against. And I didn't realize that he had the respect of, you know, his peers until a couple of years ago. I heard Nathan MacKinnon say, who is the toughest player you have ever played against? And he said, Philip Deneau.
Yeah.
And that was 4 or 5 years ago when he had only played like 3 or 4 games against.
And like,
he's hardly played against him.
And a lot of people were going crazy on the Twitter machine about that contract he got from LA, saying way too much money and everything. But this is what they paid him for this time of year, right here against McDavid. They don't care about week one of the NHL season. Phil Deneau is built for the playoffs and the shutdown. And he's doing it right now, but McDavid did have a few chances. You're not going to keep McDavid off the scoreboard, obviously.
No chance.
And you just got to limit his chances, really. That's the best he can do.
So what do you think of tonight in terms, like, is there any adjustments? How do you feel like that third period went? Did they sit back a little bit? And yes. I feel like the Edmonton definitely bounces back here tonight and gets a W on home ice.
Yeah, I truly believe the, you know, not being a homer and everything too, but the Oilers will bounce back here tonight. Skinner, even though Skinner had a little nerves too, man, a lot of people, you know, he had a little nerves the other night and people were going on about him, but we took 6 penalties. You're not going to win a hockey game with 6 penalties. Everybody's chirping that dare and a penalty. That's a penalty. I'm an Oilers fan. That's a penalty. It is what it is. And it costs us. But yeah, McDavid's whole line has to be better. McDavid was -2, 0 points. With him on the ice, you don't want to get scored on. You're hoping to score. And we had 50 hits. We had to keep laying the body too. Laying the body was huge for us. First period, we were all over them. It looked like men versus kids. And then the game slowly sat back, which wasn't our game. And they were just getting chances left and right.
So this series, it went 7 last year, and it was a hard-fought series. I expected to kind of go the same way. I had a buddy who was at the game, and he was just feeling himself after the first period. Man, the Oilers are flying. Are you kidding me? They are going to cruise past the Kings. And then, as you mentioned, a couple penalties and a late goal there, and then into overtime, the power play. And I agree, it was a penalty. You kind of have to call those. You know, if not, without the trip, it's probably, you know, a scoring chance, the, you know, a 2-on-1 or something like that in tight. We were on Drysdale, and our guy Quan absolutely loves McDavid and Drysdale shot props. He is pretty juiced today, Quan. -150 at DraftKings, -160 at BetMGM. We have the prop shop to get the best possible odds, a free tool over at ftmbets.com. I'm seeing Bet Rivers at -190. It's just a bit too much to get involved. Maybe do some sort of parlay with him and somebody else that's slightly juiced. We'll have some picks a little bit later on, but -140 for an assist, I don't mind as well. But I tell you what, AS is in the house and he's talking about Adrian Kempe. This guy may be a thorn in your behind, dude.
Oh yeah.
Kempe, not only in game one, 8 shots and 2 goals. I went back and I looked at the 7 game series last year. In the 7 games, he just had a couple goals, but man, he put pucks on that. He had at least 3 shots in every single game. He had 41 total here in the last 8 games against the Oilers playoffs, not including this regular season, last year 7 and then this year. So that's like 5.125 shots per game against the Oilers in the last 8 playoff matchups, and he's plus money. So I like that one as well.
Yeah, 100%.
A pick doesn't have to be from this game. Do you have like a lean in a game or a matchup that you like here for this evening?
This evening, to be honest, I'm going back to the Oilers and Kings. I'm going to take under 6.5 goals in that game.
Okay.
It should have hit the under, should have hit the other night too in that game. Right. I didn't take it, but it should have hit. There's been a lot of a lot of unders that have been getting exploited at the end of the game. Look at the Vegas and Jets game last night. Lowry with what?
No,
17 seconds.
Two goals at the end. I thought that one under was going to, I expect that one actually be like a low scoring series, but there was some lateness that it was on the wrong side of it.
Nope. I really think Oilers Kings under 6.5 is good value. They've been both teams all year. Been playing to the under on each other. It's going to be tight checking. I don't see anything else changing tonight. Like Deneau is going to be glued to McDavid. If it's not Deneau, it's Kopitar. Home ice. It doesn't really matter right now. The Oilers for getting guys out, but Leon's built for the playoffs too, as you can tell. He's a big game player and comes out to score. Like you said, with his shot props, they're getting out of hand now. But 2.5 when it was going good, like you get 2.5 shots on a power play alone from him.
I agree. And that's exactly what I said. Quan, isn't that exactly what I said on game one? I said he was 2.5 at -132. And I said, listen, he can get 3 shots in one power play alone. Like 100%. He really is the trigger man on that power play. Like McDavid and Nugent Hopkins, they don't even really want to shoot. Like they're looking at the bottom of the circle there for Leon Draisaitl. This is a good one. Yeah, if you want to parlay this, McDavid is at a very similar price. Like you can parlay something like that, or you can do maybe Leon Draisaitl and maybe Brent Burns or something. We do have some other plays. What do you make of some of the other matchups tonight? We talked about Laurent Brossoit potentially being on a short leash. Have they announced a starter in Florida, Alex Lyon? I know he didn't have his best game. He let a softie in against Brad Marchand, but he really did make some saves in that game, Dusty. And Bobrovsky hasn't played in over 3 weeks. And when he was playing, he was awful. He'd allowed at least 4 goals in 5 of his last 7 games. I think you got to go back to Lyon in this situation. And if it doesn't work out, then you're going back home and maybe you make that goalie switch as well. But I thought the Panthers played really good in game one, and they still couldn't find a way to beat a Boston team that was dealing with the flu and without their captain. So what are you looking at in the other matchups tonight?
Yeah, for the Boston and Florida one, definitely Lyon's got to start again. Like you said, Bobrovsky hasn't played in weeks. I wouldn't be putting him in there. To be honest, in game one, I took the Panthers +1.5 because it was -140. And then all the flu news and Bergeron was out. And you know what? If Florida can't beat them right now, they outshot them the other night too. Allmark played unbelievable again. He was making saves. But Bergeron's out again tonight. So if the Florida Panthers don't win again tonight with Bergeron out of the lineup, good luck. You can just write this series right off.
Yeah. I thought that they played really good, Florida, especially in the first 2 periods. You know, there was a 7 or 8 minute stretch where the Bruins didn't even put a puck on net. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, maybe they really are feeling.
And without Lyon in game one, the game would have been 8-1.
It would have been. Yeah, I know he let in that weak goal, but he did have some really amazing 2-on-1 saves. Where there were, there was a couple moments. I think Taylor Hall and a couple other guys had some opportunities there. We got to get you at least your thoughts on Dallas, Minnesota before we get you out of here.
That's a great series.
Man, what a first game. Like double overtime. Both goalies stood on their heads. They were fantastic. Minnesota had an unbelievable second period. And then it was really all Dallas from the third, first overtime, and majority of the second overtime as well. And no Joe Pavelski really does change things in this series, especially for Dallas. And Minnesota is a good team at home, and now they've taken home ice advantage. Do you feel like the Stars bounce back tonight? What are your vibes here with this series? And I really hope we get 6 more like game one.
Oh, this series is tight checking. It's all playoff hockey, what we need. But we got to give props to Billy Guerin. How about that trade for Gustafson for Talbot? Come on. How's that looking right now? But
pretty good.
Last game, that Pavelski hit was the Dumba hit was the turning point in that game. The Wild ended up taking over the game. And the Wild still don't have Erickson Ek playing too. I don't know if he's playing, if he's getting back in the lineup again tonight or not. But I do think the Stars rally tonight and get back in this series. I had the Stars in 60 at +115 at plus money. I like the Stars in regulation. But we'll see. It's going to be a war. Minnesota really Wild could easily win again tonight, but I like the Stars to bounce back here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we'll see. You know, with these teams that lost game one on home ice, and I'm sure, I mean, we'll be talking about tomorrow with 4 teams, a desperation factor. I know it's the playoffs and everybody is trying, but you do feel like that maybe the road team lets off a little bit. Like Cooper said last night on the bench, we were hoping to get 1, maybe 2 in Toronto. You got the first one. You feel a little bit loose. You got that split. You go home. But for Dallas, I just really thought that there were some positive takeaways from them after, like, they were definitely not feeling themselves after that Joe Pavelski hit. Like, they were running around. There was a lot of commotion. They were off tilted. Like, they just lost Pavelski, their, you know, their star player who could hardly get back to the bench and into the tunnel. So it took them a little bit to get going. But once they got going, I just thought they were much better at 5-on-5. They're generating a majority of the chances.
I think they had over 50 shots. What was it? 55 shots or something.
I don't think that Minnesota can keep up that physical play that we saw in the first half of that game. Like, I don't know if they can keep that pace up. And plus, like you said, Joel Eriksson Ek is questionable. Ryan Hartman had the overtime goal, but I know he's not 100% as well. So we'll see what happens. But man, that was some really good hockey. All right, get us out of here on this. Your cup pick, is it the Oilers? It's okay. You can be Homer.
Yes, it is. It is the Oilers. I'm sorry. That is
my Who are they playing? Who do you got them playing?
I got them playing the Bruins in the final.
Okay. In your Eastern Conference, you had the Rangers. Who did you have the Oilers playing in the West?
I have Rangers, Bruins, and then I have Oilers over the Avalanche, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's still early. I'm on the Avs too, but it's just a fun story to talk about the Kraken. We've been riding Kraken all year.
It is.
They've just been so good. Dude, they've just been so good to people in the betting market. They've been like dogs at times at home. They're amazing on the road. They're sneaky offensively. It doesn't
Jared McCann was making people money left and right.
I mean, it really was like a 40-goal campaign. And Leaf fans don't want to hear about Jared McCann. I mean, they fired him for a minute and then left him unprotected for the Kraken. They could have just let go of Kerfoot. But when you look at the Oilers or when you look at the Kraken, you see like McCann, Jordan Eberle's got experience. Matty Beniers is a nice rookie. It's just like not a lot of superstar power, but they do have four lines that just are
four solid lines. Man.
Yeah, they're just relentless at 5-on-5. And
Grubauer played well last night.
Grubauer played really well. Trust the dust, baby. Trust the dust. Anything else on the way out? Where can people check out the work?
I'm just on Twitter at Dusty Trout. I have my free plays. I have a little VIP service going on too, but it's not much. Nice. I'll have a bunch of plays out tonight for the NHL. I'll have more props and everything. And just check me out and check Chris and the boys out at FTN. They do great work, man. And thanks for the invite on today, man.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And we'll definitely chop it up again. Good luck to your Oilers. They got to get it done tonight, dude.
Oh.
They can't go to LA down 0-2.
I'm glad I'm not coming on tomorrow. Win or lose. All right.
Enjoy the evening. Check out Dusty on the Twitter machine. We'll be back. We get a couple more picks in the NBA around the diamond and here in the NHL. Hang tight. We'll be back in a couple. Cheers. I like that from Matt. Trust the dust. Trust the dust, baby. I got some NHL props here for you guys and some picks. It's been a pretty good start here in the NHL. We had a really good day on Monday where we went 10 for 13 in the bet tracker. And yesterday was kind of hit or miss. We did have a positive day in terms of units, but we really did need a little bit more from some Kraken players. I mean, we really do like the Kraken in this series. We're not just on them because they're, you know, a fun story and, you know, year number two hitting the century mark in terms of points. Really do have a lot of respect for the way that this team plays 5-on-5. I am not shocked that they went into Mile High last night and took the first game, but we'll keep an eye. Maybe we have to shy away from some of the point props. I'm kind of with Dustin. I call him Dusty. I assume maybe his name's Dustin. We'll call him Dusty. But I'm kind of with him in terms of, I feel like it will be a high scoring series. Wasn't the case last night. But I do expect Colorado to bounce back in game two. And maybe we see a little bit more offense if they're able to push the pace. But some picks that we didn't get right yesterday, like we had McCann for a point, Eberle for a point. We had Rodriguez and Lehkonen for a point either. Just didn't see the offense. So may have to adjust. But we do have a sample size here in terms of game twos tonight with all these teams. And Tyler Bertuzzi, I talked about him quite a bit. So there's a lot of picks I'm kind of chucking at you guys. I'll rank them at the end. But Tyler Bertuzzi, you know, I don't know. Dusty said about Patrice Bergeron, if he's going to play or not tonight. I don't know. Do we have any confirmation if Patrice Bergeron is actually going to suit up or not? I don't know if it really matters, but I'm going to be interested to see how the lines do shape up if he is playing. If Bergeron is playing, you know, he's going to take his top spot back on, you know, on obviously the top line, right? He's going to play next to Brad Marchand, who cleared his 2.5 shots, and also Jake DeBrusk, who I'm like looking on the fly. That's why I'm like, Patrice Bergeron, where is this guy? He is not going to play. So that's Dusty's all over it. Trust. There you go. Trust the dust, baby. So he's not going to suit up. So All right, we got that out of the way. Tyler Bertuzzi is going to stick on that second line with David Pastrnak. I thought if Bergeron played, then maybe Zacha takes that second spot and they put Bertuzzi on the third line. Bertuzzi, the odds are going to change here. We put it in last night, minus 120. In fact, some of these odds may not be there anymore, but that's the benefit of having the FTN bet, you know, package or following FTN alerts on Twitter, and you get notified right away when any of us make a bet, and then in the Discord as well. But Tyler Bertuzzi, I'd take anything as high as minus 130, minus 135. I like the assist prop as well. It's not at plus 200 like game one. It's kind of flirting around plus 140. Give you guys some live odds here on Bertuzzi. But he's a guy that, you know, I would put into a parlay as well. I'm talking earlier about the parlays being a little bit too juiced. You know, McDavid Kempe is a good little option here. I have McDavid and Aaron Ekblad. I noticed that the Panthers were very active with their defensemen jumping up in the rush. And Paul Maurice said that that's what he wanted to see. And he wants them to continue to be aggressive. And, you know, you have to be when you're playing a team that had an NHL record 65 wins and 135 points. So I expect Ekblad, who had 8 shot attempts and just 5 in the first period alone, him with McDavid. But Tyler Bertuzzi had 3 shots in game one. He's minus 190 for 2 shots on DraftKings. So you could do a Tyler Bertuzzi and a Leon Draisaitl, who is not on this board because he's minus 150. But I really do like Leon Draisaitl tonight. So with Bertuzzi, but Bertuzzi's assist prop is plus 145. His point prop is actually minus 120 at points bet. So it's still at this number. Again, second line, got some power play time with Pastrnak. They kept Pastrnak on the power play, both units, and they just swapped out Bergeron and DeBrusk for Bertuzzi and Hall. So Bertuzzi is in a really good spot to pick up a point and maybe an apple. And Tyler Seguin is going to, I think, it's an educated guess. I don't think anything is concrete, but watching Dallas and Minnesota, watching them all year when Rupe Hintz didn't play and watching when Joe Pavelski in game one left the game, they did have Seguin on that top line, and he cleared the 2.5 shots. I like Seguin to pick up a point. I like the shot prop. I like Hintz slightly more. You guys know Hintz is my guy. At 8 shot attempts in game one, 3 shots. So some of the numbers are a little bit skewed because it went to double overtime, but the attempts certainly there. Jason Robertson as well had 14 shot attempts, and Miro Heiskanen had 14 shot attempts. Again, numbers are a little bit skewed because the double overtime, but those guys really controlled the pace of the play. And from the third period on, the shot attempts for Dallas, 84 and just 36 for Minnesota. The scoring chances were 34-13 and the shots were 39-18. So Dallas really controlled that game. And that was without Joe Pavelski as well. Martin Natchez and Brent Burns here. Brent Burns had 9 shot attempts and 6 shots. In fact, the 4 of the top 5 Carolina players in terms of shot attempts in game one against the Islanders, all defensemen. And this is not a surprise because the Islanders had almost 7% of their goals, which led the NHL from their blue line. So, I mean, they get a lot from their blue line. Brent Burns is a former forward. You know, he's played forward. He's played D. He's been all over the place. I mean, he's a weapon, and he loves to shoot the puck from the blue line. That's plus 140 at 3.5. This is a pretty decent single bet there. And Adrian Kempe, talked about him in the last block, 8 shots in game one, averaging 5.125 shots per game over his last 8 playoff games, which have all come against the Edmonton Oilers. Some of these numbers here, 9, 4, 5, 6. He's had at least 3 in all 8 games, and he's cleared in every game but 3. And, you know, for the most part, those games have been at 2.5. We're just not getting Adrian Kempe at 2.5 shots anymore. So that's what I'm feeling here tonight. Going to have a whole lot more in the FTN bet tracker. I think we'll see Boston win again on the puck line. I think it's going to be like a very similar game, even without Bergeron. I see like a 4-2 win or something like that. I like Dallas and the under. I got that one in the bet tracker. I think the Stars bounce back here today. Just a must-win game at home. Take care of home ice. And also, can we bring up that bracket again one more time? Because there's still time, again, for you guys to get in. I'll put a link inside the description of this video for you guys to get in to the bracket challenge. I'm going to go with the Islanders tonight. And I still like the under. I told you guys the 5.5 would be gone. It's 5 plus 100, but I see a 3-2 win for New York here tonight. I think we may even get a little bit of overtime action. And I like the Oilers as well to take care of business this evening. I really think that the Islanders played a good game. Despite losing game one on the road, hostile environment, always a rock and burn in Raleigh, I felt like the Islanders hung around in that game. And Ilya Sorokin. We do have to get out of here. Right? We got a couple more blocks. I want to look up one more prop for you guys. Ilya Sorokin save prop, 31.5, minus 118. Take it. Jump on it now before it gets up even higher. The Hurricanes love to shoot the puck from all angles, right? One of the leaders in terms of shot attempts and shots at 5 and 5 per 60. Not really feeling their offense, but this is a team that it's like Rod Brendamore, everything on net, right? Head coach of the Hurricanes, everything on net all the time. Good luck on the ice. We're going to switch gears, talk a little MLB and NBA here next on Mean Streets. Just talking to Dusty again. I forgot he was a Maritimes boy. We got to get him on again, talk some East Coast stuff. He should be on the Kraken, right? That anchor. Let's go. Okay, so for tonight, going to combine some NBA and some MLB here. Let's actually start in the association. This is what I got here for Chris Middleton. Over 22.5 points at minus 111 and over 2.5 threes at plus 118. The basketball is just okay. We didn't get Brunson. We did get Kawhi at over 2.5. I'm a big three-point prop guy. Usually you get some plus money on some of these guys. And for Chris Middleton, it just sounds like Giannis is doubtful in this game. Thank you, Quan, for the confirmation about Patrice Bergeron, who is not going to play in this matchup. But Chris Middleton, you know, again, you got to expect more minutes, more playing time. And this is from our guy, Benny Ricciardi. And of course, with the betting package, you get all the picks from everybody. But I wanted to give him a little bit of love because I saw he wrote this up. He talked about Chris Middleton in 17 of the 25 games without Giannis. He has cleared 21 points. So right at this number, good matchup. It still is a good matchup. Bucks may be in trouble. Like, it may be a lengthy series. I still kind of like them overall, but you got to look at guys like Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday here to kind of step up and fill the void. So 33 points in game one, 12 for 20 from the floor, 2 for 7 from beyond the arc. So we wouldn't have got this prop, but 7 shots from beyond the arc. And that's what I'm all about. The shot attempts, right? It's like fantasy football. Volume is king, right? Opportunity is king. You may not think that a player is all that great in a particular offense, but given an opportunity, 20 plus touches, like, they may finish the week as like a decent fantasy option for you. But the same sort of deal. We know Middleton is good, right? Middleton, a different feel for him this year, a different vibe, right? Coming off the bench and things like that. But ultimately this guy, you know, he's dealt with some injuries and, you know, he certainly could have the ball in his hands quite a bit here today. So I got the over 21.5 and the over 2.5 threes around the diamond. Going to pick on the Bluebirds just a little bit. There's a lot of afternoon action happening in Major League Baseball. So if you're watching live on your FTN Network YouTube page, hop on over to FTNbets.com and take a look at the MLB pick tracker. But I just typically pick on Jose Barrios. I know he had a decent couple starts. You know, the third one was pretty good for him. And it did come against the Rays, who were red hot, but, you know, he was struggling with some command. And last year, he just didn't miss a lot of bats. He was among the leaders in terms of barrel rate at like 9.6%, I believe, from Statcast, and also like hard hit. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys. And this Astros team, they've been, you know, pretty inconsistent to start the season, hanging around 500. The offense has been hot and it's been cold. They're striking out a little bit more than we've seen them. Of course, they're missing some bats like Jose Altuve atop the order. But I do like the Astros to get 5 runs here today. And I like Kyle Tucker, because Barrios has been giving up some bombs. I'm seeing the wind blowing out 13 miles per hour to left. Of course, the lineup is not out, but I'd be looking at some of these lefty bats. Jordan Alvarez, of course, not breaking any news, but Kyle Tucker there at plus 370 is not bad. And I think Bregman may get to him as well. And then I think some offense here in this Halos and Yankees game. I got the total at over 9 at minus 109. I think that's from Bet Rivers. And I like these individual bets as well. The Angels over 4.5 runs at plus 100 and the Yankee side at minus 120 for over 4.5. I like the Yankee side a little bit more. Of course, the plus 100 is very appealing. I saw the Angels mess around with their lineup just a little bit. They had Ohtani in the 2 spot, Trout in the 3 spot, which was opposite the first couple weeks of the season. Ohtani had a nice 2-run shot there last night for the Halos. Hunter Renfro swinging a hot bat. So I do like both teams to kind of live in that 5 range. I think we'll see some offense in this game. The wind is still blowing out, not as much as yesterday, 7 miles per hour to right center. But Griffin Canning, his first start was okay with the Halos. He hasn't pitched in quite some time, but, you know, he's got some swing and miss in his game, but he's a fly ball pitcher. He struggles with command. If you're walking 2 or 3 guys, that's where, you know, you could really get in trouble. And I think with a righty on the hill, with rookie Anthony Volpe leading off, he's more willing to steal a base, as the Halos have a lot of southpaw pitchers, lefties in the rotation. And it's just easier for a guy to steal on a righty than a lefty. And Volpe's got a bunch of stolen bases already. We talked about him like potentially leading the bigs in stolen bases, AL Rookie of the Year at 10-1. I don't think he's going to have the ratios, but I think he's going to lead off for this squad. And if he does get on base, you know, he may steal a bag or two. So I am leaning with the Yankees to get some runs there on Griffin Canning. I think one of these guys are going to hit a home run. And I would lean to either Anthony Rizzo or Gleyber Torres. Like, those would be the two guys better odds. And of course, you could say Judge and Alvarez, but you don't need me to tell you that those guys have home run potential. I'd look at some other guys with some longer odds there, Rizzo or Gleyber Torres, or maybe even Aaron Hicks at the bottom of the lineup if he can get in as well. Got a little bit of pop in his bat. Quick break, and we are going to talk about an exciting rookie wide receiver that's going to get drafted next week, I think, in the first round. That next year on Mean Streets. Talk a little Jordan Addison here out of USC. Oh, baby, let's go. I actually really like this guy. I like him quite a bit. I just feel like I had him aggressively like high in my mock draft. I had him as like at one point the first or second wide receiver off the board, but I feel like he's just a touch too small, and I think he'll fall down just a little bit. But I do believe he's going to be a first-round wide receiver. You see the odds from DraftKings, first wide receiver plus 700, second at plus 350. I feel like he's going to be maybe wide receiver three or four off the board. But listen, I mean, he's a great route runner. He's got a ton of speed. He can blow the top off of defense. There's no question. He does lack some size and maybe, you know, some physical strengths, but I don't know if he's going to be a true one. And I think that's where teams may be a little hesitant to, like, just the teams up the top. Like, he's going to go in the first round. I do believe he's going to go in the first round, but like, if you're the Texans or you're the Titans or maybe even Seattle, I don't know if you're going this route, but a massive drop off in production from 2021 to 2022, a little bit of a change there at quarterback position. You know, he lost his guy, Kenny Pickett, but some really good numbers from him. Even last season, 59 grabs, 8 touchdowns, 14.8 yards per catch. And you can go just over the 3 years at USC. I mean, 15.9 as well in 2021, a massive season in 2021 where he had 100 grabs on 144 targets and just shy of 1600 yards and 17 touchdowns. You know, I really do believe he's a crisp route runner, very, very smooth. It's just, you know, the size, that's it. So I just kind of view him as maybe like a solid two, where other wide receivers that we've talked about before Addison have been solid number one wide receivers. So that's kind of where I'm at with him. First rounder because of his speed and athleticism. Absolutely. I agree with you. That's kind of where I'm at. What I have in my notes, and a potential star, baby. I think so too. I think he's definitely going to be a really good fantasy asset. I'm intrigued where his fantasy new team will be, his new landing spot, which will do a lot to his outlook. We got to get out of here. Good luck around the diamond, on the ice, on the hard court. Talk to you soon. Cheers.